Numion was dying. He didn't need the failing biometric data relayed by his armor to tell him that. Red warning icons were flashing across his vision, a sputtering, static-crazed feed that did more to impede his senses than enhance them. He discharged the locking clamps on his helmet and tore it off. The word-bearer, the cleric they had been seeking, who had undoubtedly killed Hryak, paid him no heed. As he gazed into the storm, Numion detected a change in the air. He felt heat and imagined the trembling of atoms as the veil of reality was parting and being rewritten. He reached out, ostensibly for a weapon, perhaps his pistol, as the glaive was now too far to grasp, but found himself clutching the sigil. Vulcan's sigil. For his legionaries, it had become an enigmatic symbol of hope. But for the Primarch, it held no such mystery. He had crafted it, imbued it with technologies beyond even his Legiones Astartes. It was a beacon, a light to bring a stricken ship to shore, or a lost traveller home. For a few brief seconds, the storm abated to a murmur, the last jag of lightning seemingly frozen in place and becoming a tear in reality that exuded light. Gazing into that light, Numion saw a figure limned in godlike power.
"Vulcan lives,"
he breathed, emotion and the blood swelling up into his throat to choke him. Elias holstered his pistol, realizing it would have little effect on whatever was about to emerge into reality. He was reaching for his Athaim, intent on flight, when he recognized the figure before him.
"My master,"
he murmured, and fell to one knee, bowing his head before Erebus. Erebus ignored him. Instead, he regarded John Grammaticus, who was still standing on the ramp of the gunship, transfixed by what he had just witnessed. The traveller was hooded, his dark robes swathed a power-armoured frame. There was no face beneath the cowl, only a silver mask fashioned to resemble one. In one hand, Erebus held a ritual knife, which he secreted back beneath his robes. The other was bionic, yet to be refleshed, and reached to retrieve the fulgurite.
"Rise,"
he said to Elias, though he was looking at Grammaticus. His voice sounded old, but bitter and filled with the resonance of true power.
"You have arrived at an auspicious moment," Elias began,
before Erebus lashed out with the fulgurite and slit the other dark apostle's throat.
"Indeed I have,"
he said, allowing the blood fountaining from Elias's ruptured arterial vein to paint the front of his robes. Dying, unable to staunch the wound from a god weapon, Elias was reduced to clawing at his former master. He managed to grasp the silver mask and tear it from his master's face before Erebus seized his flailing hands and threw him back. Grammaticus recoiled as Erebus faced him. Something akin to a demon regarded him, one with a hideous flayed skull, blood-red and patched by scar tissue that wasn't healing as ordinary flesh and skin. It was darker, incarnadine, and shimmered with an unearthly luster. Several small horns protruded from his pate, little nubs of sharpened bone. At Erebus's feet, Elias was gasping like a fish without water. He was dying. His desperation seemed to draw Erebus's attention, and Grammaticus was glad those hellish eyes were no longer focused on him. Crouched down, Erebus addressed his former disciple.
"You are as stupid as you are short-sighted, Valdrek.
He showed him the fulgurite, still glowing slightly, clenched in Erebus's bionic hand. This does not win wars. Mere chunks of wood and metal cannot do that. It was never the weapon you were looking for. The Primarchs, the Godborn, are the weapons. Sharpen our own, blunt our enemies. Erebus leaned down and clamped his flesh hand over Elias's gaping mouth. The struggle was brief and uneventful. He goes to the Neverborn as a reward for trying to betray me. It took Grammaticus a couple of seconds to realize that Erebus was talking to him. He looked down and saw the fulgurite brandished towards him. Take it, Erebus said. No one will stop you. Now he looked up, and there was terrible knowledge in his eyes. Go to your task, John Grammaticus. Warily, Grammaticus took the spear. He then walked back up the ramp and pressed the icon to close it. When he looked back, both Erebus and Elias were gone. Although he was no legionary, he could fly the ship. His abilities as a pilot were exemplary, and there weren't many vessels, human or Xenos, that he couldn't fly. Heading across the troop hold, Grammaticus opened the door that would allow him access to the cockpit. It was large, built to accommodate a legionary, but he managed well enough. It took him a few minutes, but he got the ship's systems online for atmospheric flight, and the engine turbines were already warmed up. Through the glacis plate, he noticed the sky over Ranos was changing. There were shapes in the storm clouds now, looming large and too distinct to be merely shadows. Erebus had done more than end the life of a rival when he had killed Elias. Grammaticus wasn't about to stick around and find out what that was. Engine ignition sent tremors through the ship as Grammaticus boosted forwards and then started to gain loft. A quick check of the sensor array revealed a path through the scattering of vessels in orbit. None of them were suitable. He'd need to find another spaceport and gain passage aboard a cruiser, preferably non-military. It would be guarded, he knew that. But if he got there before Pollux, he'd have a much better chance of slipping through their security nets. Dark sky gave way to desolate black void as the gunship streaked through the upper atmosphere and beyond.